All right, here we go. Thank you so much for taking the time to tune in and listen to the Grizz Podcast. Man, I'm coming at you from Huntingtown, Maryland, the basement of my home, aka the Grizz Cave. And on this episode, wait, what is today, first of all? Today is Tuesday, April, I believe it's the 23rd, man. I don't have my phone on me. I don't have my watch on me. So it's somewhere in there. It's around that time period, 2019. Anyway, coming at you from the Grizz Cave. It's a beautiful day outside. I am hoping not to be cooped up in the office all day, but to get outside and actually do a little bit of mountain bike riding today. Been working on a trail system right by my house. It's real small, but it's fun just to get a little exercise, do a little riding, get a little thrill. I'm a thrill seeker. Want to have the energy. Anyway, on this episode of the Grizz Podcast, I got a couple things I want to talk to you about, but the main thing is the bait that hides the hook. I've mentioned that phrase before here on the Grizz Podcast on previous episodes. That is not something that originated with me. It comes from a phenomenal individual Christian leader known as Thomas Brooks, one of the old Puritans from the 16th century. I'll talk about him a little bit later. But I want to talk to you about the bait that hides the hook. Of course, I've got a couple other important items of Grizz Biz to discuss with you guys, and I will do that. But the main thing is the bait that hides the hook. That's what I want to get into. That's what I'm here to help you with, to help you understand what's really going on here, man, with what the enemy is trying to do to all of us. So, here we go.
You're listening to the Grizz Podcast. It's gonna be raw. It's gonna be real. And it's gonna be relevant. We're here to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God is calling you to live. It's time for you to step up and man up. That's what God expects, and that's what this jacked up world desperately needs. Now here's our host, itinerant speaker, Jason George.
All right, I am sitting here. I have got a hot cup of coffee here in my Yeti mug. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. And it's some good coffee. I got it from Whole Foods. It's my wife says it's overpriced. I'm like, do not ever say that to me. There's no such thing. I'm a coffee snob, dude. Actually, there is a such thing. I'm not going to pay $100 for a one-pound bag of Blue Mountain coffee from Jamaica. That's insane. I'm also sitting here with some bubbly. That's right. A little commercial for bubbly. Bubbly sparkling water. That's the kind of soda I've been drinking lately and really enjoy it. It's some good stuff. It is carbonated, which means I'm going to drink it and probably end up burping on the podcast. But that's nothing new. You know, it's something that I've definitely done before. And I believe that that is honestly, sincerely, something that a grizzly bear would do in his natural habitat among other grizzly bears. And it would be deeply respected, even on a spiritual level. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that I am part man, part grizzly, that's how I roll. Okay. Like half of that just went in my mouth and half went all over me. That's how I drink, man, half grizzly. Anyway, the bait that hides the hook. Dude, I hope you guys are doing okay, man. Hope you're doing great. And sorry for the delay in episodes. Just been super busy. And that doesn't mean I'm, important. You know what I'm saying? Some guys say that, like, I'm busy, as if that makes them so important. Their time is so valuable. They must be somebody. I just been busy with a lot of stuff around the house, getting done, being a dad. My wife was away for a couple days, and I had to take care of the dogs. And then I had a big staining job. I stained a big fence and then a deck recently, and then been working on my house. We had a deck built, and then I've been bringing in loads of rocks to put under the deck. So there's always something going on. We had our driveway repaved, and then that meant I had to bring in fill dirt to put beside where the new driveway kind of is, where they put new asphalt, which meant more grass seed, straw, water in the grass. My wife wants flowers planted. So do I. I like having a good yard. So I've just been busy, stuff like that. And I'm going away this weekend to Kansas to my friend Michael Abruzzo, his church youth ministry in Kansas. I've known Michael for many, many years, back when I was in Nixon, Missouri. That's where I met him. He was a youth pastor down in Branson, Missouri. And we had a mutual friend, Stephen Shaddix, who was the youth pastor at the church that I was going to. I had done a event for them speaking, and I met Michael. And so Michael was at a church in Texas. I spoke there, I think, a year or two ago, and now he's having me out to his church in Kansas to speak to the teenagers. So really grateful for that and looking forward to that. So that's a little bit of what's going on. I've been preparing for that. I was preparing some content this morning, but then I was like, you know what? I need to bust out a podcast because I haven't done that in a while, and it's important, and I want to stay committed to it. So here we go. The bait that hides the hook. This is what's on my heart, man. This is what I was thinking of. One of the most effective strategies that the enemy, and when I say the enemy, I'm talking about the devil and his demons. One of the most effective strategies that the enemy uses to lure good men into sin is to present the bait and hide the hook. Those of you who go fishing, you completely understand that word picture, as do I. The bait that hides the hook. You see, when you fish, you don't just cast a hook into the water. You cast some sort of appealing bait into the water that has a hidden hook inside of it. You work that bait in front of the fish. And if you're a really good fisherman, you know how to work it. You know what I'm saying? Work it, baby, work it. And they see it. And because you know how to work it, baby, they want it. And they come, and some of them nibble at it. They're kind of testing it out, checking it out. And then one finally decides, I can't stand it anymore, and he swallows it. And you rear back as the fisherman. You rear back with your rod to set the hook. And the fish fights to get away, but he rarely can, because the sharp hook has sunk in deep, and you're reeling him in, and mama's at home, and you give her a call on the mobile phone, and you tell her, get the frying pan ready, baby, because dinner is coming. Now, this is exactly the strategy that the enemy uses on us, and it's one of the most effective. He presents the bait and he hides the hook. The naive, inexperienced, foolish, immature Christian man only sees the bait, the instant gratification, the immediate pleasure, the temporary gain, the comfort, the relief, the thrill, the escape, etc. But he doesn't see the misery that will most certainly follow all of those things. This strategy of the enemy, it goes all the way back to our first parents in the Garden of Eden. The crafty serpent, he came to them and he spoke to them where the forbidden fruit was. He was waiting there. And he says to the woman, as Adam is standing right there with her, by the way, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." He's basically telling them, your eyes will be opened and you will become gods. That's the bait. There it is, baby. There's the gratification, the pleasure, the gain, the thrill. But all the while, the enemy is completely hiding the hook. And there is such a hook. The guilt, the shame, the fear, the loss, the punishment that will soon come after they indulge in the forbidden fruit. You see, the enemy deceives them and he cheats them. That's what he does, man. That's what he's good at. He gives them a piece of fruit in exchange. There's a chopper going overhead. It's not a chopper. It is a chopper. He gives them a piece of fruit in exchange for a perfect world with perfect peace, perfect joy, perfect harmony, health, and immortality. A piece of fruit in exchange for all of that. That's all he gave them. Because he's a liar, he's a cheat, he's a swindler. He deceived and he cheated them because that's who he is. That's what he does. It's what he always does. And as he did with them back in the Garden of Eden, he has since done to billions upon billions throughout human history, including myself. He's still doing it today. He's presenting the bait and he's hiding the hook. This is his most effective strategy, in my opinion. It must be comical to him, Satan, and all of his demons, how this same ancient strategy repeatedly yields such effective results among humanity. He comes and he dangles the bait of status or prestige, power, wealth, promotion, temporary relief, comfort, escape, or sexual pleasure. But he does not reveal the hook within that is waiting to capture and destroy your life, your marriage, your family, your career, your ministry, your witness, your reputation, your peace, your joy, your fellowship with God. The enemy tried to use this exact same strategy on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 8, it says, "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, 'All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.'" There's the bait. All of these kingdoms I will give you if you fall down and worship me. All of the world, all of their kingdoms, all of the glory I'll give to you. All you got to do is bow down and worship me. I want you to listen to the insight from Dr. John MacArthur that he offers regarding this specific temptation from the enemy against Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. This is what he says. This comes from the MacArthur commentary on the Gospel of Matthew, starting at page 96. He says, I quote, "We are not told what very high mountain it was to which the devil took him, Jesus. The significance, however, lies in the fact that this location gave a vast view of the earth, but the view extended far beyond what physical vision could perceive from any vantage point, no matter how high. By some supernatural accommodation, the devil showed Jesus the glories of Egypt, its pyramids, temples, libraries, and vast treasures. He showed the power and splendor of Rome with its mighty empire spread over the known world. He showed great Athens, magnificent Corinth, and of course, wondrous Jerusalem, the royal city of David, and more, all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. As God's own proclaimed King of Kings, Jesus had a divine right to all kingdoms, and it was to that right that Satan appealed in this last temptation. Why should you have to wait for what is already rightfully yours?" he suggested to Jesus. "You deserve to have it now. Why do you submit as a servant when you could reign as a king? I'm only offering you what the Father has already promised." Perhaps he reminded Jesus that God had said to the Son, "Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as thy possession." Psalm 2:8. But Satan was offering the world to Jesus on his own corrupt terms, not God's. That which the Father promised to the Son because of his righteous obedience, Satan offered to the Son in exchange for his unrighteous disobedience. God's plan in testing the Son was to prove the Son's worthiness to inherit and rule the world. Satan's plan was to draw the Son away from the worthiness, that worthiness, by enticing him to grab the kingdom the Father promised to give him. Instead of enduring the long, bitter, humiliating, and painful road to the cross, and the even longer wait in heaven for God's time to be completed, Jesus could rule the world now. Satan always comes at us in this way. He suggests that the world of business, the world of politics, the world of fame, or the world of whatever our hearts desires can be ours. If only we can get what we want, we can fulfill our lust and our fantasies, we can be somebody. All we must do to get those things of the world is to go after them in the way of the world, which is Satan's way. That, in essence, is what the tempter always promises. He promised Eve that by eating the forbidden fruit, she would not die as God had warned, but that in fact, she would become a god herself. For God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. He tempts each of us in the same way. Why set your standards so high? What's the use? You can get what you want by cutting a corner here and shading the truth there. Why wait for heavenly reward when you can have what you want now? When we set our hearts on money, prestige, popularity, power, or selfish happiness, we are doing exactly what Satan wanted Jesus to do. Put self first and God last. Self-will is Satan's will and is therefore by definition the opposite of God's will, which is for us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33. Abraham sought what God promised in his own self-styled act with Hagar, and tragedy resulted. It always does. Satan's a counterfeiter. He offers what seems to be the same as what God offers, and his price is much cheaper. God wants you to prosper, doesn't he? Satan asks. Well, I'll give you prosperity a lot sooner and for a lot less. Just turn your head a little at questionable practices. Give in when it's advantageous. Don't be a prude. Follow the crowd. That's the way to success. The basic argument is always a form of the idea that the end justifies the means. But Satan is also the father of lies. What he really demanded in the wilderness was Jesus' own soul. All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. Satan had rebelled against God in the first place because he could not tolerate being second to the Trinity. Here, he thought, was his great opportunity. He would bribe the Son to worship at his feet. Satan's price is always immeasurably more than he leads us to believe. And what he gives is always immeasurably less than he promises. For Jesus to have given in to this third temptation would have brought the same ultimate result as having succumbed to either of the other two. He would have disqualified himself not only as king, but as savior. The statement of those who mocked at the foot of the cross would have had to have been reversed. He saved himself, others he cannot save. Instead of redeeming the world, he would have joined the world. Instead of inheriting the world, he would have lost the world. The Christ would have played the Antichrist, and the Lamb would have become the beast. As before, Jesus' reply was from Scripture, and is again from Deuteronomy. Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The tempter's last proposal was so preposterous that Jesus dismissed him with, "Be gone, Satan." The devil had stepped beyond all bounds in proposing such utterable wickedness, because Satan's present power is only by God's permission. When the Son commanded him to leave, Satan had no choice but to obey. Therein, Christ demonstrated the very sovereign power Satan wanted him to misuse. If the Son of God would not compromise even the least important truth in the universe, he would surely not compromise the greatest, that God and God alone is to be worshiped and served. Jesus had heard enough from the enemy. Though Satan would be back as soon as he had an quote-unquote opportune time, Luke 4:13, for now he was forced to leave. Jesus will inherit God's kingdom in God's time, and we will inherit the kingdom with him. See Matthew 5:25-34, Romans 8:17, and James 2:5. In the eternal heavenly state, all the universe will be ours. Who would want to sacrifice that for the deceptive, disappointing, and short-lived limitations Satan offers? There are many good things that God will give us even in this life. No one desires our happiness more than our Heavenly Father. If you then, being evil, Jesus says, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Matthew 7:11. We can have the happiness God gives. Why should we settle for the cheap substitute that Satan proffers? We can have the success of living righteously and pleasing our Heavenly Father. Why should we settle for the brief and disappointing successes sin produces? By God's grace, we can have the peace that passes understanding. Why should we settle for the cheap satisfactions that everyone understands, but that will soon pass? Pastor John MacArthur, his commentary on the Gospel of Matthew. Right there, baby. As usual, Dr. John MacArthur nails it. We're going to talk more about this on the next episode, the bait that hides the hook, and I'm going to give you some practical ways to not be deceived and snared by the bait that hides the hook. Let me grab a sip here, my sparkling bubbly. Much of what I've talked to you about today, the concepts of the bait that hides the hook, it comes from an old Puritan pastor preacher from the 16th century. His name was Thomas Brooks, and he was a powerful preacher and writer. His book, Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices, I have it right here. If you're watching YouTube, you can see it. It was written in 1652. It is without question one of the top, most spiritually helpful books I've ever read in my life. And I've literally read hundreds and hundreds of books. And this one is one that I definitely have read more than once and often go back to, as I did today. Thomas Brooks began this book by saying these words: Christ, the scripture, your own hearts, and Satan's devices are the four primary things that should be first and foremost studied and understood. Christ, the scripture, your own heart, and Satan's devices. Such godly wisdom right there. Are those the top four things, the top primary things, you know, that we study and try to understand first and foremost? Christ, the scripture, our own hearts, and Satan's devices. That's not what most of us are doing. But he's saying that this is what we should make our main focus of study and understanding: Christ, the scriptures, our own hearts, and Satan's devices or strategies or methods or wiles, you know, the old English, wiles of the devil to try to take us out. So as I said, next episode, I'm going to give you some practical ways to not be deceived and snared by the bait that hides the hook. It'll be good for all of us to learn about that, because we so easily are lured away by the bait that hides the hook. And I don't know what that bait is for you. It's different for so many of us. Some of us fall for the same baits. But either way, we need to realize that there's a hook in there and what we can do to stay the heck away from it and not give in to it. Couple last things, items of grizz biz before we wrap up. I am still on the keto diet, the ketogenic diet, which the whole point is to put my body in what is known as ketosis, where instead of burning glucose and sugar and carbs, my body goes into this mode of ketosis where I begin to burn fat. That's what starts burning. And I'm not just doing that because I want to drop pounds, even though I've lost about 11 pounds and I'm on week 3. I'm doing it because there has been some experimental research by some people with Lyme disease and other chronic illnesses that have gone on the ketogenic diet and experienced a lot of relief or even remission. I'm not saying it's cured them of Lyme disease. I'm not even sure there is a cure when it's been in your system for a while, but you can keep it at bay and live a functional life, which is what I've been trying to do. Also got some recent emails. With the keto diet, I did want to mention, I haven't done it perfect. Sometimes I'm not in ketosis. I cheated one night. I was like, man, I'm just going to have one jalapeno kettle chip, because they're in my cabinets, you know, because my wife and my kids eat them, and I used to eat them, and I'm trying not to eat them, and that was stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I'm just going to have one. Yeah, you know how that goes. I ate like 3/4 of the bag, so that completely knocked me out of ketosis, and it's not like you can just hop right back into ketosis the next day. It takes your body a while to get back there, so that's where I've been at. And then it's just been hard. You got to take in a lot of fat, but it's got to be good fats. You got to keep your carbs down. And sometimes my carbs are a little too high, and sometimes my fat intake is not high enough because it's weird. It's different for me to think, well, I got to take in fat. And, you know, you can't just eat bacon all the time. Like, you can have a little bit of bacon, but that's not the best fat for you. Things like whole grain, organic grass-fed butter is a good thing, but I'm not going to sit there and eat spoonfuls of butter. I add butter to stuff. I eat a lot of pistachios, almonds, different nuts, things like that. I can have a little bit of cheese, but it's got to be organic, you know, grass-fed. I had some steak. I have some ground beef, again, all grass-fed. But coconut oils, I got to get this oil called MCT oil, which is all good fat. Avocados are a really good fat. I've been putting those in a protein mix that I make, and I know that that sounds gross, but you don't even taste the avocado. The protein mix with a little tablespoon of organic, all-natural peanut butter, it just overpowers the avocado. Don't even taste it. So, and then in my coffee, I've been putting a little bit of butter in there, mixing it in, kind of like a power coffee. It's pretty good. So I'm working on it. I have noticed that my arthritis and muscle pain, soreness or whatever, is down compared to what it was. I've had less headaches than I normally experience, and I'm not as fatigued as I was. I still get hit with like waves of fatigue. Yesterday I had to lay down at 3 p.m. for 30 minutes because I couldn't function and even think properly and study and do my computer work. So, but I would say it's better overall. So I'm making progress. Takes the body time to heal. But man, this diet has been proven to really help people with all sorts of stuff. Diabetes, Alzheimer's, dementia, seizures. So, and definitely losing weight. I don't know of any other diet that you're going to cut fat as quickly and drastically as on the keto diet, unless you just go into all-out fasting. So you might want to check it out. And I'm on week 3. Anyway, I got some recent emails from some listeners, and I want to pull those up in a little bit. You know what? I'll do that at another time because I don't want to go too long this episode. Update on our mission fund for the House of Hope in Nicaragua. Our nonprofit, which is Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated, a 501c3 legit nonprofit registered with the IRS and also the state of Missouri where it was founded, and the state of Maryland where I am now. We are helping this year, 2019, another nonprofit ministry called House of Hope that helps women and children get out of sex trafficking and get into a rehabilitation program that is very gospel-centered, but also really helps them developmentally with housing and education and becoming business owners, learning how to do just other jobs, ways of making money rather than returning to the brothels and things like that. And I've been down to Nicaragua recently to check it out firsthand, to meet with the director, and I like what they're doing. I think it's legit. So some of you guys that are listeners to the Grizz Podcast, you've given money to the Mission Fund to help with that, or you've bought some merchandise like a sweatshirt, a t-shirt, at teespring.com/stores/Grizz. That's where we have a store that we sell our merchandise. That's teespring.com/stores/Grizz. So we took some of the money that we've already raised. We didn't use all of it, but we took some of it. I bought $230 worth of jewelry that the women make down there and they sell it. And I brought it back and I gave it away to some friends and family. And it helps them have an awareness of what these women are doing. And that money goes directly to the women, not House of Hope. That's kind of like just sales from their job, what they're doing. They rely on that. And then we also took from the Mission Fund and we gave $1,500 to finish off a new home for one of the graduates that's come through the two-year program, rehabilitation program. And they helped set her up with her own house. And they needed $1,500 more to finish the house for the materials. So we donated that. And then right now we're in the process of raising about $6,000 for an entire new home to be built for another graduate. We want to have that money in by September. And then the building will be happening in September, November, December. And she will move in to the new home in January after she graduates the program. In August, I'm hoping to go down and visit the new House of Hope. They're expanding from Nicaragua to opening one in Honduras to do the same sort of thing. So my friend, the director, April Havlin, and I have been talking, and she wants me to come down there and check that out and see what we can do, not just to help with funding, but also with the building projects, bringing in some manpower, if you know what I'm saying. Again, there is Grizz and Narrow Trail merchandise available at teespring.com/stores/Grizz. And all the proceeds from the sales of those products goes to help with House of Hope, our Mission Fund. You can make if you don't want to buy anything and you just want to make a one-time or set up a recurring donation to our nonprofit, you can do that by going to narrowtrail.com/give, narrowtrail.com/give, and you can give to our general fund for Narrow Trail. You can give to our Mission Fund, which is specifically for House of Hope. It goes to nothing else. Or you can give to the Grizz Podcast to help us keep doing what we're doing here with the Grizz Podcast. Usually when I do an episode, I take a whole day, sometimes 2 days off of work to prep everything, record, edit, get it posted, all of that. And for all of that to happen, it costs money. It costs our ministry some money, and it costs me personally because I'm taking a day off of work. As I've said before, I don't mind doing that. I believe in what we're doing here. But that's where when some of you guys that are listeners have started making a commitment to give $10, $20 a month, some of you have decided to give $50. One guy gives $100. One guy gives $150 a month. All of that really, really genuinely does help. So there's no obligation to give. There's no manipulation or anything like that. If you just aren't in a position to do that and you just enjoy listening to the Grizz podcast and you're getting something out of it, that's great. At least give us some feedback by leaving a rating and review on iTunes if you haven't done that already for the Grizz podcast. I think that's it. Please, as I said, keep me in your prayers this week and this weekend. I'm heading out on Thursday. I'll be back Monday. I'm in Kansas speaking at a youth event, delivering 4 messages on the evidence for a creator God. That's something I'll specifically be talking about, the evidence for a creator God, and evidence also that Jesus is the Son of God, the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. Be talking to a group of teenagers about some heavy, thought-provoking stuff that I don't know if they've ever really dug into any of that and really thought some of the hard questions and let somebody answer some of those hard questions for them. So I'm going to do my best to do that. I need your prayer. I need prayer for myself, for them. Pray against the work of the enemy who always tries to distract, distort, hinder, confuse, take away anything that has to do with God's truth going forth. So that's it, my brothers from other mothers. Thanks again for tuning in, listening to the Grizz podcast. Really appreciate it. Hope you have a great rest of the week and a great weekend. Enjoy this spring weather and keep your guard up, man. The enemy is seeking to just take you and destroy you. And the way that he does that is he wants to lure you into sin. Keep your guard up. Peace.
You've been listening to the Grizz Podcast, an outreach of Narrow Trail Ministries Incorporated. If this podcast has been helping to guide, encourage, and equip you to live the manly life that God's calling you to live, then please consider partnering with us by giving a tax-exempt donation to our nonprofit ministry. Your financial gift will help us continue to improve and expand our impact around the world. You can make your secure online donation at thegrizzpodcast.com. Now, it's time to take what you've learned and chew on it. And then you need to step up, man up, and go live it out. Grizzin', you know what I'm saying. Yeah.